What episode is this?
60
something. Oh, this is 68, huh?
Yeah.
When I hold my phone too close to the microphone, it does a thing. But my notes are on my phone, so... Speaking of my phone, when I was at the concert this weekend, and we'll talk about the Alice Cooper concert in a minute. I went to take some pictures and videos, and I'd never had this happen before, but my phone said that I was out of space. Probably because I record tons of interviews and all kinds of crap on here, and I'm constantly snapping pictures. But I've been going through and deleting, like, just pictures and videos that are just stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But I've got a OneDrive account, and I've been backing up all my stuff, which I recommend everybody do, because don't rely on your phone as an archive thing, because, as you know better than anybody, because you have a phone that's currently in the Tennessee Tom Bibby waterway.
Yeah.
Like, there's some fish down there taking selfies with it.
Most likely.
Which, there's several services, you know, like, we got a Google Drive through the podcast, which I think I have full of comic books right now, digital comics. OneDrive is like the Hotmail one, and then Yahoo has something. OneDrive, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, I would definitely recommend doing that. The OneDrive app is pretty cool, because you just go to the OneDrive app and pull up your camera roll as if you're on your camera roll, but with an iPhone anyway. And you just click all the, put a check mark, you know, just bump every picture and video,
yeah,
and just tell it to upload. You better be on Wi-Fi, that's for sure. It takes a while, especially got a lot of videos like I did.
I'll probably do that this evening.
But anyway, I've created like a KPC folder, and like, we got a ton of Kill Pop Culture pictures that they're out there. It's kind of like a little walk down memory lane, because I got this phone in 2015, I think. Yeah, so I had stuff from 2015 till now.
Golly, that thing's lasted a long time. I've already had to dump this phone, like, save stuff on my computer.
Well, this is an iPhone 6, not the Plus, just the regular, and I know they came out with the 7, and I just didn't really see the appeal to spend another probably $400 for the upgrade.
Right.
Or 200 at least, I don't know. I wanted to give a shout out to the Wrestling News Center for sharing our last episode. Was that 67?
Yeah.
I think we got a lot of new wrestling fans listening to the show, which is cool.
Yeah, I like that. So, hey, how are you?
And thank y'all for sharing. Everybody go check out the Wrestling News Center. I noticed on our social media, like, we're getting like friends and listeners from like other states, which we already had a few, but more and more that are not just in Mississippi. It's like Indiana and like other random states are starting to pop up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's cool.
You know, I told you the Instagram page the other day, we got a follow from a homebrewer. I don't know what country this is. I mean, you can hit translate and see what he's translating, what he's saying, but his beer looks beautiful nonetheless, but I don't know what the hell he's saying.
Yeah, I definitely want to work towards expanding our listener base, you know, internationally. We definitely got a lot of attention from homebrewers and microbreweries and stuff like that from the 1817 episode that we had. It was a really good show, and it's still climbing in the ratings. The Tupelo Comic Con episode 1 and 2 are both doing really, really good. Yeah, we had a cool weekend, man. We went to go see Alice Cooper in concert at the Bancorp South Center.
That was amazing.
Yeah. That was kind of a different concert. Like, I've seen Alice Cooper, I think this will be my, well, that's only my third time to see him. I wanted to say fourth, but I saw him at the Horseshoe Casino in 2000 or 2002, which was awesome because it was during the Brutal Planet tour. And that's one of my favorite. That's like one of the most underrated Alice Cooper albums, was Brutal Planet. I saw him in Birmingham when they opened for Motley Crue. And I was telling Barry, because Barry went with me to the Motley Crue concert, I was like, man, you got to see Alice Cooper at an Alice Cooper show. Because he can't do all of his stuff when he's sharing this, you know, the bill with a lot of people.
He got 45 minutes to play.
Yeah, it's like, get on stage, do your hits, and get off. But this was his show, and they had no opening acts. They just came out, started playing, played for like 2 hours, and then boom, it's over with. Everybody get the hell out.
Yeah.
It was kind of a different experience, but I liked it. It was pretty cool. They put on a great show. Like, everybody in that band is so talented, and they did all the theatrics. They had the cool backdrops and all the gimmicks and all that stuff. Saw a lot of our friends there. Like, so many people we knew were there.
Yeah, that's good to see people actually out.
Birds of a feather.
Supporting good music.
I got a couple more announcements real quick, because I don't want this intro to be like a million years long. Even though we don't have like an interview or anything like that tonight, but we've got a lot to talk about. I wanted to announce we now finally have a YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search for Kill Pop Culture, or maybe Kill Pop Culture Podcast, and you'll see us, or click on the links on Facebook. Right now, the only video we have up is our Comic-Con panel that we did at the Tupelo Comic-Con. We did a panel on podcasting with our friends from Gotham Central. In fact, the footage is I got from his Facebook Live session, and I edited it and put it in YouTube, and that was our first thing we got going there. The panel actually starts at about the 3-minute mark. You got about 3 minutes of us, in case you're interested. You got about 3 minutes of us kind of setting everything, like getting ready, and me combing my beard.
Yeah, if you've ever seen Mark on Facebook Live, you know he likes to comb the beard.
And the audio sounds really good. Like, if you want to listen to it like it's a podcast, just go to the YouTube app and hit play, and just listen to it. In case you're at work and you can't watch your phone, or you're driving, please don't watch our YouTube channel while you're driving. But you could listen to it, and you know, get the same full effect. So we're gonna be putting stuff out there on our YouTube channel. Another thing I want to announce real quick, I don't even think I told you this yet. Next week, we've got my good friend and local professional wrestling legend, Neil Taylor. Neil the Real Deal Taylor.
Yeah,
is going to be live here with us in the studio.
I wish you'd have got to come to the Jerry Lawler event when they were there, because Neil wrestled that night too, and he had a great match. So, hate you missed that one, brother. But
yeah, I was under the weather that night, and I couldn't make it.
I understand.
Trust me, I would rather have been there than
sick
than
as
not
a dog.
Able to roll out of bed. But yeah, we're really racking up on in-studio interviews. We're doing really good with that.
We know
I enjoy that so much more when the people actually come here and hang out with us. But Neil's got a lot of stories to tell, man. He's been doing this a long time, and he's wrestled a lot of people that our listeners will recognize, and he's got a website now, and I think he's doing his own podcast.
Yeah, I'll have the radios.
I'll have my
slash podcast
info and facts better. I'll have
my next week.
I'll have my research a little more organized by next week before we interview him. But
yeah. Is he going to be here?
Yeah, he's coming here.
Awesome, good deal.
So that's the next podcast. He'll be here in the studio with us. So anyway, you know, it's kind of interesting. Killjay's kind of evolved into three bands, because we do the full band like we had at the Railroad Festival, and then we started practicing for acoustic shows, which we also did an acoustic gig at the festival Friday night. And Shane's got the Cajon. The slap top. And I was like, let's start booking some acoustic gigs on the side. And I still wanted to call it Killjay or Killjay Acoustic, because we're going to be doing Killjay songs. I guess we could call it something else and cover Killjay songs. But anyway, the other night, like, Steven's, our drummer's not always available because of his work schedule. We have to book him way in advance and everything. Shane's actually a drummer as well. So we went over to his house and did a practice as a three-piece.
Yeah.
With me playing bass and singing, and you on guitar, and Shane on drums. And, man, it was a blast. And I was like, shoot, if some of these places that we try to book acoustic shows, if they can handle a three-piece, like, kind of do... You've got the acoustic, and then you've got the full band, but in between you have the, like, the...
The lighter side of Killjay.
Yeah, and of course... Me playing bass and singing, there's a lot of Killjay songs that I can't play and sing. Like, infection and
right,
like some of the really heavier stuff. So this will be like, it'd be like a step above acoustic, basically. So we're kind of like three bands now. So if you want to book either of our three bands, that's basically the same people. You hit us up and tell us which version you want. So anyway, oh man, I've got such a good segue tonight. You know I'm a sucker for a good segue.
Yeah.
This segue is so good, man. You need to picture like an actual segue, the little two-wheeled thing. Yeah. But this one's got like monster truck tires and a big like piped out Chevrolet engine.
I could hear Stone Cold going, oh, hell yeah.
Two American flags whipping in the wind.
With Mark riding and drinking a beer.
Like I promised last week, there's a Seeking Seven song that we're debuting on the air tonight, which we will play for you here in a few minutes. But to segue into that, we have a show coming up. March.
That's a year away.
May the 27th. Is that right?
Yes, May the 27th is correct.
I said that with like, I tried to say that with confidence, but
it's like, May the 27th.
It's going to be us, Five Stories, our friends from Jackson, Tennessee, and Seeking Seven. That's going to be at the First and Last at Columbus, Mississippi. It's kind of a small venue, but you know, I got to thinking about it. Rob booked us on the show, and I was like, "Wow, we're gonna play the First and Last." I've been there before, but I've never played there.
Right.
And the most acts that play there acoustically because of the size of it. I was like, you know, if we get like 75 people in there, that place is gonna be like, it's gonna look like 1,000.
Yeah. Wall to wall.
Because it's gonna be so packed, and that's probably, I think it's gonna be a really fun gig. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be like an old school Kill J gig. Again, we're playing with Seeking Seven, and we have a debuting a new song by them tonight here in just a minute.
You got to do the bell. Can you still do the bell?
Ooh.
Oh, looky there. He still got it.
Here is brand new song from Seeking Seven called Wonderful Pain. And we'll be right back after that.
We'll be right back. looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Punk Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
You can finish chewing your food, and I'll bring us in on this. And by the time you wash it down with an ice cold beer, you'll be ready to comment on my
wittiness.
See, you already caught up. So I just rewatched the second Justice League trailer this morning. I've watched it before, and I meant to talk about it on here, or I may have. Shit, I can't remember.
I don't think we have.
My life is so much like this podcast that I don't know what we talk about and what we do on the air, but
yeah.
The main thing I wanted to comment on, and I'm not just going to sit here and bash it, because for the most part, the only thing I liked both trailers. They're really awesome, and it looks like it's going to be a great movie. I'm a little nervous about how much ground they're going to have to cover in this movie, because I absolutely can't stand, and this seems to be like a thing they're trying to do nowadays. They're trying to put like 9 movies into 2 hours. So
yeah,
they're going to have to save some stuff for the next one if they do a good movie here.
Yeah, because you don't want them to have to cut and piece too much all the way through it, and it'd be like, kind of like our conversation or your conversations with me, where I'm just random as hell and I'm jumping from scene to scene, basically.
Well, and you know, just to prove that I'm not just a DC guy and I hate everything else, I think the one movie that's come out in the last few years that had a lot to cover and did it very well was the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
They had a lot. I mean, there's a lot of characters there with a lot of stories. And I guess going back to how they set everything up, where they did individual movies leading up to that. But still, even with like S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything, you had a lot to cover. And yeah, they did it very, very well. And it didn't seem so busy. I hope Justice League doesn't. I mean, like right now, they're... Will the Wonder Woman solo movie be out by then?
Yeah, it comes out.
Yeah. And we've already had Batman v Superman. We've already had Superman solo. So, really, I mean, you got to kind of touch on Aquaman's backstory and Cyborg's backstory. And, you know, maybe that can be covered in flashbacks.
Yeah. Well, I know they're planning on doing some flashback stuff of Cyborg.
I hope they do. I hope they just flashback with Cyborg, because, I mean, if anybody deserves a solo movie, my gosh, that guy's been in the Justice League since, like, what, 1950?
Yeah.
And he's never gotten, like, a full-blown... He gets, like, these small solo runs in the comics, and then they'll just stop. But... And he obviously, he's always in the Justice League and a few other things, but... I don't think that Cyborg's got the respect that he deserves. And I know Kellogg's somewhere listening to this, giving his big grin and nod of approval, because Cyborg is his favorite. But a couple of the things that I don't like, and it actually has to do with Cyborg, and that's, his outfit, his costume, it's too much, man. It's Star Wars Episode I kind of CGI. You know what I mean? Like, you see half of a face that doesn't look overly CGI, and like his entire body from there down, over and down, is completely just over the top CGI. And
do they not ever use prosthetic pieces anymore?
Man, I don't know. Because his suit in the comics looks fine. It looks good.
Yeah.
Even in the cartoon movies, the animated films, I think Cyborg looks good. And, like, it's so bad that when the whole Justice League is standing there together, that he, like, sticks out because it's bad.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be the sore thumb as far as the visuals go.
Aquaman actually looks pretty cool. Of course, Jason Momoa, I think he would look awesome with a fruit basket on his head and a kilt or something. The Flash, like, his outfit has got all that armor stuff on it, which is totally different. And I guess because I'm a big fan of the Flash TV show, DC wants to keep, you know, they want to keep the movies separate from the shows, and I think that's actually a good idea. But if you watch the Flash TV show, you know they're very much dealing with the multiverse. You almost can't have Flash without the multiverse. And the Speed Force and all that stuff. But, man, it would just be so cool if, like, the Barry Allen from the show, like, slipped into the universe where the movies are and they used him. Not saying that I don't like the guy playing Flash in the movies. He looks like he's going to be fine. I'm just not into the costume. It looks like it's too armor-ish.
Yeah.
The Flash never had armor. He didn't have shoulder pads. He had just, like, a suit.
I was watching a video not long ago, actually, where they were kind of discussing the Flash's suit, and there's like speculation that Bruce Wayne forked out the money to basically give him this design.
He Tony Starked him?
Yeah, basically.
Like
like the Spider-Man.
I mean, like, Tony Stark is the Spider-Man, what Bruce Wayne's going to be to the Flash, I guess.
Flash, don't mess up. He'll take your suit away.
Yeah. But all in all, I think it's going to be a good movie. I got high hopes for it. The only thing that makes me nervous is Cyborg looks kind of dumb. But maybe they'll make up for that in something. Maybe they'll make up for that somehow. I'm nervous about how much ground they've got to cover in the amount of time.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a big movie. One way or the other, it's going to be a really big, huge hit, or it's going to be a really big, crammed together movie.
Another thing that I think I talked about it on here, I know I've really been happy about the idea that I've started a sub with DC, because, you know, I've talked about how I go on eBay and buy comics way more than I should.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty frugal when it comes to comics, but I could sit here and bitch for like an hour, and I won't. I'll restrain myself. I know I've bitched about it a lot, but the shipping on comics on eBay is just crazy. It makes no sense at all. And it's not just commons that you need to, like, fill a run, but, like, key issues, you'll find it a really good price. You'll be like, wow, that's a good deal. And then the shipping for one book, it'll be, like, $12.
It's more than the book.
I'm like, yeah. So, I looked at getting a sub, and I bragged about how much money you save doing a subscription to DC. And I bragged about, you know, the fact that it's free shipping, you never miss an issue, blah, blah, blah. But I ran into something today that's kind of a knock against them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, I put in my order for a subscription to Detective Comics and the main Batman runs. The main two Batman titles. Because I really dig what they're doing. I have talked about this on here before. Because I really dig what they're doing in Rebirth. Like, Volume 3 has been really good so far. What I've read. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do a sub. No more overpriced shipping. So I did my subscription started on the 11th of April. And I was glad I got my sub in, because I think on the 13th or 14th is when one of each comes out. So I was like, maybe I can go ahead and get that one in. If not, surely the next one. Well, today is what, the 26th? By the time this airs, it'll be like the 28th, I guess. No comics have come in yet. And granted, like, if you order... I've subscribed to stuff before. And if you order something on eBay or Amazon or anywhere, it's... don't know, a few days later, it comes in.
Well, what was that you got the other day that had, like, the variant covers and stuff, too? The different.
That was All-Star Batman.
Oh, okay.
That was in this current, like, timeline.
Okay.
Well, those are fairly new. But it was, a ton of variants from variant covers along with it.
Right.
So it was only, I think, four issues, but it was, 18 comic books because they had so many different variant covers. The All-Star Batman's really good, too, by the way. You need to read that.
Yeah.
So, I called DC because all they sent me when I subscribed was an email that said, thanks for your order. Here's our logo. And there was a phone number on there. So I called that phone number today and I'm like, so when should I, how does this work? When should I, they're like, oh, it takes 6 to 8 weeks after your subscription to get your first comic. And I was like, 6 to 8? That's 2 months.
You're still going to have to go.
What the hell takes so long to put 2 comic books in the mail?
You're still going to have to go to eBay and buy the first ones now.
Yeah, how long does it take to put 2 comic books in the mail? And they're like, oh, well, we need that much time for
processing.
We've got, really slow processing processors that don't process very well, I guess. And they're like, shipping. And I'm like, yeah, where are you at? And they're like, Texas. And I'm like, okay.
It's 12 hours away.
I could, you could drive there in 8.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we'll see. And I asked also, do I get them the day they hit newsstands? Or do you send them that day? And she said, you should get them around about the time they hit newsstands.
Around about.
Well, basically, they don't wait till it hits newsstand before they send them.
Okay, so you might get it.
They send them
before.
Probably a couple of days before, so you might get it the day of or the day after.
Right, I gotcha.
So we'll see. So far, the experience has a couple of good points, and now it's got one kind of big
hiccup,
knock against it. But I guess on the flip side, it encourages you to keep your subscription. Because if you let that son of a bitch run out, you're going to miss 9 comics before you re-up again. Oh. So anyway, I want to do we haven't done a Movies That Don't Suck segment in a while.
Yeah.
So I think we need to take a quick break.
Play that beautiful music.
We already played the music. We're going to play a commercial.
No, not to...
Oh, the movies didn't suck music, yeah.
Yeah, that's the beautiful
I think people I'm probably look forward
about.
To that, or I know I do, more than they do the segment itself.
I do.
Well, I didn't want people to think that we had forgotten about that segment. Hey, here's this cool new thing we're doing, and then it fizzles out. And I think people like it because we've gotten a lot of feedback and comments. In fact, we've gotten a couple suggestions. And, man, it's kind of weird how this played out because I had this in the back of my mind as one I wanted to do, and Tim Lucas, we talked about this movie, and that it was kind of underrated, and it didn't get a fair shake in the reviews. And then all of a sudden, this new information came out that is directly related to this movie that just came out this week. So it was really ironic that we talked about that, and then today I found out some stuff. Which I will share with you.
Oh, really?
See how I'm making them wait so that they don't, go anywhere? Somebody's going to be late for work because they're sitting in their car listening to this.
Oh my God. Tell me.
Damn it! I want to know! Now I've got to sit here.
I'll clock in 5 minutes late. They'll still let me in.
Thank goodness they have phones that I can put in my pocket. I forgot this is 2017. I can take it with me. All right, we'll be right back.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh, yeah. They do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook. Facebook.com/AnarchyDesign69. Or email them at AnarchyDesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page.
When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. Movies that don't suck, even though people say they do.
God, that's awful. All right, finally, another Movies That Don't Suck segment. We haven't done this in a couple weeks.
It's been almost a month, actually, because we've been so busy with Comic-Con and Railroad Festival.
Yeah, and I know it's been a long time since you've seen this movie. Well, it's been a long time since I've seen it, too. Here's the thing. The things that have come to light recently is in regards to a movie that just came out. And I'm not going to give you any spoilers on that movie at all. I'm not going to talk about the current movie. I'm going to talk about the movie Unbreakable that came out in the year 2000 with Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson. But I will tell you the current movie that it connects to. But again, I can't give you any spoilers on Split because I haven't seen Split. But if you may consider it a spoiler that I tell you that they are connected, but don't get mad at me.
Spoiler alert.
Because M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Should have bought a Honda. He just put out on Twitter yesterday, or maybe it was today, that those two movies are connected. You know, he wrote and directed both of them.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, what? And evidently, there's something in Split. And again, I haven't seen it, so I'm not spoiling that movie. This is public information that they're in the same universe now. He put that out there, and it's being talked about everywhere. But evidently, there's something that happens in Split that kind of lets you know, maybe towards the end of the movie, that there is a connection between those, or that they're at least in the same universe. And what M. Night Shyamalan said on his tweet was that he's planning on making a finishing out the trilogy of Unbreakable. And I was like, the trilogy? Where did the second part come in? And that's when, you know, I found out that evidently those two are connected. And one interesting thing is that if you look, and I didn't realize, figure this out on my own, it was people talking about it. If you look at the cover or the movie poster for Unbreakable, and the like, the movie poster, you know, the main image for Split.
Yeah.
Both of them have cracks on the screen, like sort of like if you're looking at it behind broken glass.
Yeah.
Well, if you put them side by side, those cracks fit together perfectly, like they're the same cracks.
What?
Like a continuation. So I'm wondering if, like, and he said that he's going to finish it out in 2019, and it's going to like merge the characters from both movies.
Now I've got to go re-buy.
Which is crazy because, again, you know, Unbreakable came out in 2000.
Yeah.
It was 17 years ago, man. And, again, that's the one we're going to focus on. I'm not going to talk about Split because I haven't even seen it, and it's too soon. You know, as I said a long time ago about this segment, I'm only going to talk about movies that have been out a while. This one's been out 17 years. If you haven't seen it, I think you've had plenty of time.
Well, before,
some of our listeners probably aren't even 17 years old.
Before we jump right into that, though, I will say this. I have to go and rebuy Unbreakable because I used to have it, but I don't know whatever happened to it. But I'm going to have to buy Split, too, just so I can take the covers and do like that with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because, I mean, it's
or
just
get two of the movie posters and like put them on the wall and like have them. And I hope that the one that comes out in 2019 has cracks in it, because that would be like really cool for the man cave, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But I always thought that was an awesome movie when I watched it, because I went into it just thinking it was a Bruce Willis movie, not knowing really anything at all about it.
Right.
And of course, like the main villain, which is played by Samuel Jackson, he is a like he's, a comic book art connoisseur.
Yeah.
Like that's what he does for like a living, and like there's like several scenes where he's in a like a big comic book store. So I thought that was cool with the comic connection. And then when I started realizing that it was like a superhero movie, I was like, hey, you know, this is awesome.
Right. Well, you know, it's so funny that it's one way and the other between the two characters in that movie. That's what made it so great to me.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to point out is the reason that Unbreakable landed on this segment. It's not necessarily that it got terrible reviews. I just think that it got unjust reception because, okay, you got to think, if it's the year 2000. We're fresh off the heels of The Sixth Sense, which was like huge, like critically acclaimed movie, and M. Night Shyamalan, you know, did that movie too, and then Bruce Willis was in it, and this was like not the follow-up, but in that same, like, M. Night Shyamalan was really hot then.
Right.
And everybody was expecting, like, the next Sixth Sense.
Right. Yeah.
And the face you're making looking at the screen, I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, I'm trying
to... certain website...
No, I'm trying to figure out... Because I see Split right there beside it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out which way they go together.
That's a smaller picture, but picture it on this side.
Okay.
The cracks come together.
Okay. Because I was going to say it might almost work that side, but that would make it like a prequel.
I'll
basically.
Google, like, I think some fans have put them together. I'll Google that for you in a minute. I thought you were looking at the rating.
Oh, well, no. I mean, the ratings is horrible on Rotten Tomato.
Well, I was going to say it on the certain website that I won't name.
Rotten Tomato.
But it. It rhymes with
Smart and Schmato.
Forgotten Potatoes. It's freshly ripe avocados. You know what? We need to start our own movie and TV show rating like review site and call it Ripe Avocados.
Ripe Avocados.
And like we give it like 4 out of 5 avocados.
Or why would I say ripe potatoes even, because that would kind of...
Well, I don't know. I like the idea of an alligator egg, you know, down there in the little 4 out of 5.
But I don't like avocados.
You don't like avocados?
No, it looks like baby shit.
I love avocados. That's guacamole. That's made from avocados.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks like crunchy baby shits.
But anyways, this certain website that we won't name, it gave it 68%. The audience scored it 77, which isn't bad. I mean, it's above average. But again, the reason I think Unbreakable deserves a Movies That Don't Suck segment highlight is because if it hadn't have been when it was and people expecting it to be the next Sixth Sense, and I'm like, dude, they're nothing alike. One's a superhero movie, one's about a dead guy that's dead that realizes he's dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Shit.
Dang it. Bruce Willis was dead. Oh, my God. I'm never listening to Kill Pop Culture again.
I hear him now. They're like, no, no, stop.
No, Sixth Sense was a great movie. I will argue with anybody that says that movie sucked, which I don't think many people would say it does.
There's a little boy in that movie.
You know, some people just say a movie sucks because it's like a little too popular for them.
Yeah.
And I don't do that. Like, well, I like underground stuff. I even went through still am in kind of a independent film stage. But, I mean, a big, huge blockbuster movie like Avengers, if it's good, I'm going to say it's good.
Right.
I'm not going to go, oh, that sucks because everybody likes it. Nah. So anyway, I think one of the reasons I liked it, and I think this was even on the trailer, because you had like that huge epic moment where the dude's like, he's in the hospital or wherever, and he's like, why are you looking at me like that? He's like, well, because this train just derailed and got hit by another train. And not only are you, like, in the next few minutes going to be the only surviving passenger, and, like, right at that time it cut to, like, the guy that, or individual that was still, quote-unquote, alive.
Right.
And they were in, like, a horrible shape, and then they flatlined, like, right then.
Yeah.
He's like, not only are you fixing to be the only survivor of this accident, but you don't have a scratch on you. And, Bruce Willis was like, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, yeah, that is weird.
Pretty much.
Basically, he realizes slowly, he like has a flashback about a car wreck. I really should have watched it, but I haven't seen it in years. He has a flashback and he remembers a car wreck that he had. Here's the Wikipedia. Oh, I pulled that up to. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. He had this car wreck where he saved somebody from it, and he remembers that, and he's like, yeah, stuff like this has happened to me. And then he's like working out in his basement. He's got like a little weight bench and some like concrete weights, and his son's down there, you remember?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I didn't know I could bench press that much. And he's like, well, let's get some more weights.
Yeah, he just keeps adding.
He's like, go get some more. He's like, that's all of them. He's like, what else we got? So they start adding, like, I don't know, like tying on buckets of water and all kinds of stuff. And he winds up bench pressing like a lot of weight. And he slowly but surely realizes that he's a superhero or has superhuman abilities.
Right.
And amidst all that, he realizes that he has an ability to sense someone's, I guess M. Night Shyamalan likes senses and people sensing things.
Yeah.
But he can sense like their, what's the word I'm looking for? Like their evil, their like,
their aura,
the crimes that they've committed. Like, if you're a bad person that's done bad things, like he can get close to you or touch you, and like he knows. I think does he have to touch him or just get close? But he like knows all the bad things you've done.
He's Santa Claus, basically.
Yeah, he Santa Claused him in the subway or like a train station or something, or maybe he had enough of trains and it was he was in a public area and there was like this dude walked past him and he's like, ooh, this guy's got hostages, and like he went and freed those people.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, basically, you find out that Samuel Jackson invites him over and he shakes his hand, and when he shakes his hand, he flashbacks to all the bad things that Samuel Jackson's done.
Yeah, yeah, that was part of my favorite.
And
he
like sees like all these tragedies. Like, this guy's basically a terrorist. He's caused plane wrecks, and I think explosions in buildings, and then this train wreck that Bruce Willis was on.
All because he's vain, or not vain.
He's trying to find his counterpart, you know,
right.
He's the villain,
yeah.
Looking for his arch nemesis.
Now that we know who you are, I know who I am. I'm not a mistake. It all makes sense. In a comic, you know how you can tell who the arch villain's going to be? He's the exact opposite. The hero.
He's got this disability to where his bones and stuff break really easy.
You remember falling down the steps and breaking both his legs and stuff?
Right. The whole plot of the movie is basically him being a villain looking for his nemesis.
Right.
Because when he shook his hand, he knew he would see all the evil that he's done. And he said, I need to introduce myself. I'm Mr. Glass. And basically, like, if I remember correctly, the cops just show up and arrest him. And I remember thinking, like, that whole movie was good, but it cried out for a sequel.
Right.
Because now they finally met. Now it finally happened. Like, his whole existence, he knew he was a bad guy. He was looking for his good guy because he didn't feel, like, complete, I guess. I guess you're not complete as a Lex Luthor until you have a Superman.
Yeah. And this isn't your basic.
And Mr. Glass is like, I'm looking for my Superman.
My Superman.
Where's my Superman?
Now, this is not your basic action hero comic book.
No, it didn't feel like a comic book movie at all.
This is basically a psychological thriller.
Holy shit, am I recording this? Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I minimized the software to look at that other website.
And you forgot you were recording?
No, I was just like, did I hit record before I minimized that? Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, this is more like a psychological thriller, more so than that whole superhero feel to it.
Yeah, it's very psychological. I mean, there is a lot of action, but it's not like superhero punchy fighty action.
Right.
The action is in, like, you know, the tragedies that he staged in order to try to find, like, the reason he blew up the building, the reason he caused the plane to crash, the reason he caused the train to wreck was because he was trying to find Bruce Willis, basically.
Yeah. And wasn't he the one that caused that train to
derail?
This
would be a lot more entertaining if I knew the names of the characters they were playing instead of calling them by the actors.
That was Bob and Fred.
Bob and Fred.
And Tractor Jimmy.
No, Tractor Jimmy did the soundtrack to Unbreakable. No, that was in 2000, but I guarantee you Tractor Jimmy will be in the final showdown. But man, it's funny because I read this, like, Samuel Jackson and M. Night Shyamalan are friends, and yeah, they talk. And after Split came out, he said, "Are you ready to play?" He asked Samuel Jackson, "Are you ready to play Mr. Glass again?" He's like, "Man, I've been ready to play Mr. Glass. I'm not going to try to do his voice."
But he said a lot of MS in there.
He said, I ask you about it every time we talk. So he's definitely, like, everybody's geared up to do it. And I think it's really cool because it was so unexpected. See, and I have to bring this up, and I'm glad the movie did good, but I hate that everything always comes down to money. But Split did really well.
Right.
In the box office. I could Google the numbers. I do have the numbers pulled up. That's why I had the Wikipedia page for Unbreakable pull up.
Well, here's...
Unbreakable did really well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's before they would spend $82 jillion on a movie. But the budget for the movie was $75 million, and the box office did $248 million.
But it's only 106 minutes. That's 96 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, it's an hour and 36 minutes. It's not a long movie to sit there. It's not like... I mean, some of the superhero movies can be 2 hours long.
Well, you know, in the 2000s, they kept movies around, and I actually liked that better when movies were shorter. And another thing I like is M. Night. Is that what we call him for short? Or can we just call him M? What's the M stand for? Mike?
Mufasa,
not Shyamalan. He said that he wants to keep the budget low because it forces him to be more creative. But because it's like we mentioned, he's not going for a comic book movie per se, or a comic book superhero movie, a psychological type superhero movie. And I could see where Unbreakable probably didn't need just eons of dollars.
Right.
I mean, the hardest thing to shoot would have been the
train wreck.
The train wreck and the plane crash and the buildings blowing up and all that, but the rest of it was just practical, normal, good acting. That's important.
Yeah.
Good storytelling, good story writing.
Two really good actors made a big difference in that. My thing with it is, if they're going to do a sequel to it, I don't want it to be one of these movies where, say, the movie comes out in 2018, 2019.
They said
19. Okay,
it's going to be out in 19.
Okay, 2019.
Now they're shooting it in 19, but it'll be...
I don't want it to be one of these movies that it posts up, you know, the words 10 years later. It's like, no, this dude is like 20 years older than he was. You can tell, kind of thing.
I'm trying to tiptoe around Split.
Yeah.
Because it's a new release, and I'm not going to spoil anything on it, but I do know more than I'm letting on.
Thank you.
I haven't seen it, but I know more spoilers than I'm going to give on here, because some people are, like, really sensitive about that.
Yeah.
Like, some people are going to be, like, mad at me because I let them know that...
There's a connection.
But that's, like, complete public information right now. Like, if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the guy that created the movie, because he's the one.
Be mad at...
That's all a talk
be
about.
Be mad at Mufasa Knight Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Let me just look up Split real quick. How long has that been out? That's since 2016.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the movie theaters, and, like,
so it's on DVD right now.
Yeah, it's in Walmart right now. Like on new releases, it just came out recently.
Well, what the crap? Let's go get it. Let's wrap this thing up and go to Walmart.
Yeah, buddy.
See, look at all the... Okay, you can see here.
Oh, yeah.
For the people at home listening that can't see me pointing at this crack on the screen, you see all the splits and cracks are going over? Now, you go back to Unbreakable. Look.
Yep.
I mean, it's part of the same shattered windshield.
Go back to the other picture that you were just on. Another spoiler alert. It's Professor Xavier before he got in the wheelchair.
It is. Maybe there's a connection there, too, that we just don't know yet.
No, they better not do that to me.
Damn it, Logan. I cuss now.
Well, Logan cussed in all the movies, but I've never heard Professor Xavier do that. That's amazing.
I was like, Professor X?
Shame on me for
Shame
listening.
Shame on you, sir.
Shame on me for hearing that.
How dare you F-bomb Logan like that?
But we digress.
Well, I'm not really digressing. I'm just taking a minute to...
Well, no, look, I mean, it is funny. It's literally Professor Xavier after he lost all his hair.
The picture of them, the two screens together.
You're going to blow my mind with this right now, aren't you? Split connection. Poster.
Comparison. Oh, somebody's already Googled it.
Yep.
Oh, look.
No.
Of course, my internet sucks, so it's all
actually,
blurry.
You know what?
That's not a good one. The one
split to
the
me.
The one I saw, look, those two cracks there and those cracks were like lined up together.
Yeah, no, to me, if you look at it though, you could flip it the other way and split could be like the prequel to. Guess what? New theory out there.
No, that's actually not the case. But look, somebody did do that. Here, look.
Do it. Yeah, go to it.
That actually does look
better. Bam! Guess what? I win the world
That actually does look better that way.
I win the world.
Because that one up, that's connected there and it's connected here.
Yep. I just won the world.
There's like a lot of people going, damn it, we can't see what y'all are looking at.
Okay, look.
No, I'll post this on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
I'll put it in regards to episode 68. Look
that
at this to, while that, you watch.
That needs
listen
to be
to
the Kill Pop Culture picture, too. For the podcast episode. Can you get away with that?
Yeah, they're not going to sue us. They know we ain't got no money. It's like, hey, Kill Pop Culture ripped us off. Let's sue. Oh, God.
Oh, wait, never mind. Let's write them off. It's a tax write-off.
That would cost us way too much money to sue us broke bastards.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll put that as like the...
That right there is crazy insane, dude. Because I told you,
I'll do one of those, I'm just going to leave this here things.
Yeah. To me, it just looked...
Let's bring that back.
It looked right doing it that way, but to see it like it was split as...
It's
to the left.
Again, I'm trying so hard to tiptoe around things, but I don't think Split is a prequel. I think it's a crossover.
Yeah, it's a connection. It's not even really part of the sequels.
It's in the same universe. Which, again, I'm telling you the honest to God truth, and Tim will back me up on this because me and him talked about this weeks ago.
Right.
I was going to do a Movies That Don't Suck segment on Unbreakable anyway.
Yeah.
Before I knew any of this. I didn't even know about the movie Split.
Well, I know.
I mean, I'm sure I'd heard of it.
We were talking about it.
I just,
it
wasn't on like my radar or anything.
Yeah, we were talking about it out here the other night. You know, it's...
I seriously think we need to go to Walmart right now and buy it. I got like $40 in my checking account. I got like one more bill I need to pay, but hey.
Cash.
Let it ride.
Let her get it.
Let it ride.
We're going to pause for a break and go to Walmart.
spend 20 of my last $40.
And
then the other 20
is
going to come out of me getting sued for using their poster.
That's not gonna happen.
No. Well, surprisingly, even after editing, we've covered almost 50 minutes of podcast. So, why don't we take one more quick break and then let's bring it home. That's enough for movies that don't suck, even though people say they do. Go watch Unbreakable again. Go watch Split. And tell then, us what we messed up.
Because
I haven't seen... Look, I'm open to corrections because I haven't seen this movie in, like, at least... Well, I saw it when it came out 17 years ago, but I've probably seen... I'm sure I've seen it since then. But it's been years since I've seen the movie.
He's okay to corrections. Don't correct me, though. I'm an asshole. No, I'm kidding. Hit us up, killpopculture69@gmail.com. Give us some feedback.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. This reminded me of the conversation we were just having in the break. You know how I'm all the time saying, you know, calling this the Kill J Ranch?
Yeah.
Dang it. Can't reach my belt. Let me move this over here.
Yeah, you need to put it over there closer to you.
You never know. I'm going to knock the dust off this bell, man. We got some shows coming up.
Yes, sir.
You know how I'm all the time calling it the Kill J Ranch? Kind of jokingly, but serious. Before I bought this property, they used to have horses and stuff out here.
Yeah.
So it kind of like actually was a ranch, but it's funny, man, because I don't live that far away. Like, I'm not in the middle of nowhere, but I kind of am. And
you're farther from the road than I am.
I stopped to get my mail because you don't even want to walk down my driveway. That's a long walk.
Yeah, I know. I had to do that the day Kim came out here.
I'm checking my mail and all of a sudden this big old wild turkey just comes walking out of the woods, like up to the like the road where I'm at, as if it's wanting to come tell me something.
It's probably the one that was hollering at us the other night.
Well, it might have been. It was on the, well, we have wild turkeys all around here. And I was like, "Hey, Mr. Turkey."
You stay over there with your big spurs.
But it was a big old wild turkey. Just, well, yeah, we have this field out here on this side, I see just like, I don't know what's a group of turkeys called? Is it a flock?
It is called
a gaggle. A gaggle of turkeys.
It is called an M. Night Shyamalan.
But yeah, I mean, I have deer run through my driveway. I have deer in my front yard. Yeah. I've got a pear tree right by the building we're recording this from. And the deer come and eat pears off of it, and I watch them through my window. I really want to plug the Wrestling News Center once again for putting us over on their show. Go to, is it the or just WrestlingNewsCenter.com. They also have a Facebook page. We're friends with the photographer. And she does a great job. She takes pictures at all the OWO events and a bunch of other stuff. There's a lot of Comic-Con stuff on there. So definitely go check them out. Don't forget, we have a show coming up at the First and Last Chance. That's actually kind of... I've always thought that was a cool name because of where they're located.
Yeah, it's your first chance coming into Columbus.
And your last chance going out to grab a beer.
Let's buy one and open it up just right before there.
Sort or like after that, there. That Affleck, is it Affleck? No, it's a Geico commercial where he's standing in the middle of the road between two states.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
So come check us out on May 27th. You didn't just have to hold up your fingers and tell me when that was.
I was trying to just take a sip of my beer, and he's like, "In man," I was like, "Oh no, 27."
I do sign language over here when I'm making announcements. Man, that's a month away. We got 4 weeks.
We still got it.
Yeah, we'll be all right. I just need to do some curls.
I need to have some practices because I'm getting old and forgetful.
Y'all
want to
work on your instruments, like your guitar playing and whatnot. I'm sitting here like, I need to do some. I need to work on my biceps.
Right. I need those fingers.
Tell where my head's at.
I need those fingers to be a little sore on the fingertips.
Don't forget, next week we have our good friend Neil the Real Deal Taylor. I'm telling you, man, I know that guy's got a lot of cool stories. I've known him forever. He's come to a lot of Killjoy shows and hung out with us. And I've been to a lot of his shows, his wrestling shows. And I started seeing him at Skyline. And I can't remember the name of the promotion, but it was like TFW, the future of wrestling or something like that.
I think that was it.
I can't remember the promotion, but
I had a buddy
the first time I went out there, he was actually the champ. And he's pretty much, I've never seen him as a face. Like, he's always like a heel.
Yeah.
And he can get such a reaction from the crowd.
But he's so accessible, too. You know, he's always willing to talk to the fans and stuff. Like, I walked past him the other night at the show and I high-fived him. I was like, good match, man.
Yeah, he always has good matches, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about with him. So we're gonna have a good time next show.
I just wanna rub this in, and I'm sorry that I'm rubbing it in. But do you want to tell him, or do you want me to tell him who I got to hang out with the weekend you were sick?
Yeah, that's right. We didn't talk about this on the show, but
it's just a quickie.
The OWO Super Show. I think we plugged it on here.
Yeah,
and then I got struck ill.
Yeah, you were pretty
and not the good kind of ill like the Beastie Boys talk about, like the kind of ill where I literally was not going to do anything at all. But I missed the OWO Super Show with Jerry Lawler, but you got to talk to him.
Yeah, I did talk to him for a few minutes. He was a really, really down to earth guy. He invited us to come to the barbecue place in Memphis.
And didn't he tell you that he's down to do an interview with
us
sometime?
Yes, he did. He said, you know, we'll try to get something worked up either next time he comes to Amory, which there's no telling when he's going to come back to Amory.
He'll come back, though. I mean, he's been here.
Yeah, but
he comes a couple times a year or so.
Yeah, but we're fat guys and we like barbecue, so we could always go to Memphis because he said he's always at the barbecue place. You know, he's in and out of there all the time. So I'm working on something either way on that, one way or the other. We're still going to try to.
I'm glad you made that connection, man, because I'd love to interview the King. Another thing, we can't announce any details about this at all because nothing's official yet, but what we can tell you is that our good buddy, Matthew Ashley. The artist we talk about on here that we've become friends with from Tupelo Comic Con, he's working on some cool stuff for us interview wise. Again, we can't divulge any details because nothing's confirmed, but he is working on some, he's helping us out and using some of his connections with some of our connections, and hopefully something cool comes of that you're going to be hearing
and
pretty
soon.
There is going to be
another interview with him coming up soon too, because I really am interested in talking to him and seeing he's done so much stuff just since Tupelo Comic Con. This dude has been everywhere. I mean, he's like, I don't even know how he's at home any.
Well, you should see. If any of y'all has been to his Facebook page, he's rubbed elbows with some of the luck. When he says he's a celebrity artist, he's done work for some heavy hitters in the, especially in the Walking Dead community and all that. And like he's done so many cons. He's met a lot of really, really cool people.
Have you seen the videos that he posted where he was doing like karaoke stuff with those guys?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh wow, this is a guy that we definitely got to get to a QLJ party one night. Matthew, we love you, man. You definitely got to come party with us one day
for sure. One more thing I wanted to announce before we go is I've ironed out all the details I think for a another segment on the show that we're going to do. Not every episode, but we're going to start working in here and there, and we've talked about this before, but our conspiracy theories. Well, I've always been a big fan of conspiracy theories, and the rabbit hole can go really deep on a lot of these, but just for entertainment reasons, I want to touch on some of the most, like, most talked about, some of my favorite conspiracies, and I don't really want to do, like, the overdone ones, like, you know, 9/11, JFK, but there's a lot of them out there that people don't even realize, and what we're not going to do is we're not going to try to convince you of anything either way. We're just going to...
We're just going to throw ideas out there.
We're just going to tell you what the conspiracy consists of, and we'll have some cool music, like some sci-fi, like, you know...
Doctor Who-esque.
Doctor Who-ish kind of stuff playing, and we're going to talk about, like, our favorite conspiracies, because that's what I like.
Yep.
And you can guarantee when we get to Flat Earth, it's going to be like a 2 or 3-parter, and we're going to have to get Tom Nguyen back on here to talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, definitely.
But I'm not going to start off with Flat Earth. That's too much to digest.
Right.
That's way too much. Like, that'll make people's heads explode.
Well, I mean, we need to start out small, because even what we talked about Monday night is probably a little more than a lot of people are ready to grasp.
I'll go ahead and tell you this. I think the first one I'd like to cover would be the Philadelphia experiment.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some research on that, or you already know something about that, feel free to email us. And maybe, I don't know if it'll be next episode or the episode after that, but we're going to start working in some of our favorite conspiracies. And if you've got a favorite conspiracy, hit us up, killpopculture69@gmail.com. You were just showing me something where you wanted
I wasn't plugging it. I just remembered that I got to talk to you about that after we get done.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention the guitar giveaway that we're doing this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
This will air before the weekend unless something tragic happens.
Yeah. But we are doing it this
weekend. We're doing a Facebook Live this weekend to give away the guitar.
Sunday?
Oh.
Saturday. Sunday, because people are going out doing shit on Saturday.
Friday, Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Damn it, M. Night Shyamalan.
Me and my made-up words. All right, well, this brings us to a close of another... I thought this was a good episode.
It was a good episode.
It was a hostful show. That's a term I'm going to steal from the Nerdist. When they have a show where there's no interviews... They call it a hostful show because it's just the host talking the whole time, basically.
Right.
I think this was a good hostful show. I hope.
Oh, speaking of hostful show, you know how Facebook always wants you to edit something? You've got something to update on your profile or whatever?
Yeah.
I had one of those today, and it was something in my bio. It's like, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I was like, musician... father, co-host of Kill Pop Culture, village idiot, you know, just left it at that. But I mean, that's kind of how I like life, so I'm content with it.
You know, I was noticing something on Facebook today, and I'm really not a huge social media guru. I mean, I use it on a daily basis because it's necessary between the band and the podcast. Again, now we have a YouTube channel as well.
Yes.
We'll have to plug that. So just Kill Pop Culture alone. You know, we have a Facebook,
Instagram,
a Twitter, an Instagram, a YouTube channel,
Stitcher,
SoundCloud,
Podomatic,
Stitcher,
iTunes.
And that's just Kill Pop Culture. And then, you know, the band has, you know, all of its social media. But one thing I noticed today when I was going through, we've been getting a lot of friend requests, which is really cool. The spam and, like, I guess it's like the porn bots or whatever they are
yeah.
getting a little more sneaky and clever.
Yeah.
Because if somebody sends me a friend request, I'm one of these paranoid people that I'm like, I'm just going to assume you're not real until you can prove to me you are real.
Right.
And I click everybody that's ever sent a friend request. I always click on the profile. And usually It's like a really, really hot female in a very scantily clad outfit.
Thank you, really hot females.
Not like, okay, you're not real. And I go scroll down through there, and there's like one post, and that's their profile picture.
Yeah. Or it tells what year they started their Facebook.
And there's like no information at all. And like under friends in common, like the only friends that it shows is like your friends that are perverts. It's like your friend. Everybody's got those friends, you know, that's kind of perverted. And I'm like, no, I'm not accepting that. But today, I got a friend request, and I was like, I don't know. This one's kind of iffy. This is borderline. Like, I need to let this one cook a little while and see if it gets blocked or reported. Because I'm not convinced. It could be. It's kind of right there in. It could be a real person, but it and what do they get from that, by the way? Like, that's one thing I haven't figured out. Like, if you friend a fake Facebook page, what do they gain from that? Just a way to advertise their whatever they're promoting, a web chat or something?
Yeah, like the video porn thing.
So, like, if it's a porn bot and you accept them as a friend,
they're going to start spamming your page.
They're
going to
start spamming you to go look at their pornography. Okay.
Well, here's my thing.
I'm sure some have slipped through the cracks between all the Facebook pages. I'm sure I've accepted friend requests from fake people.
Yeah,
but I don't. I've never been.
Don't click a link. That's all.
I've never
do.
Been hacked or never got into. You know, like.
Yeah, don't click the links. Stop clicking the links, people. But my thing with it is, I run into that too with. The Instagram, even now, it's almost as bad on Instagram as it is.
Yeah,
on
you're right. I noticed that too. That because I've got two Instagram accounts, mine and the Kill J one.
Yeah, and I run mine and the Kill Pop Culture one.
Right, and I've started noticing that somebody will follow me, and I'll go look, and there's like one picture of a very attractive girl in like a negligee. And then there's like no other pictures, there's no information, and you're like, nah.
Yeah.
You're not real.
So if
you're like some dude running a porn site or
a brothel.
Yeah. You're a pimp.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
don't put your pimpness on my social media.
At the end of the day, if you're hearing this and you send us a friend's request, and maybe you're somebody from Europe or something that, you know, we don't have a lot of mutual friends with. If we don't have a lot of mutual friends and you are not a bot, I repeat, not a bot.
Not a bot.
Send us a message or something even, you know, because
yeah,
we
I
accept
mean,
that.
Real.
Just let
and
us
take
know.
It as a compliment. If you send us a friend request and we don't accept it for a few days,
we're not hating you.
That means you're so attractive that we can't imagine you being a real person.
Right.
So
we can't imagine why you want to
be
our friend. Be
complimented by that and then send us a message and say, hey, look, guys, I know I'm super hot. I know I've got it going on. I know I don't have a lot of real looking stuff posted on my Facebook.
Why are you describing me?
I don't think I've ever added you. No. Send us a message to tell us you're real and we'll either we'll take your word for it, or we'll know that even if you're a porn bot, like, you're really going that extra step.
Exactly, you're really cool.
Like, man, this fake person is really, they're really going the extra mile, and they deserve our whatever you get from us.
Yeah. Well, we
damn sure
we
you
do,
don't give me no money.
We do have some.
I spent my last few dollars on Split.
Damn it. We do have some other appearances in the works coming up in the near future, too. So, yes. Even better than relying on social media, how about just come out and be social? You know, come by and say, hey, you know, wherever we're at, if you're in the area, come by and see us and chill with us for a little bit. It's cool.
Yeah, and if you want to book Kill Pop Culture or any of our three-in-one bands... hit us up, man. We're We're easy to work with. We're pretty chill. I think we've proven that on this show, if nothing else.
Yeah.
We're pretty laid back.
Exactly.
So thanks for listening to episode 68. We're about to ride off into the moonlight. We've been broadcasting high atop the first and only floor of Kill J headquarters at the Kill J Ranch.
On the subfloor of Kill Pop Culture.
We're in the basement.
We are in the basement.
Kill Pop Culture's in the basement, and then Kill J practices on the first and only floor. High atop the first and only floor.
That's the best way to do it from now on. That's great.
No, I'm going to start saying high atop the basement.
High top above
under
the
only floor of Kill J.
High top above the basement. Thanks again. Thanks again, everybody, for all the views, the friend requests, the likes, the listens. Again, watch the YouTube. Keep in touch. Email.
One more thing.
One more.
You can't forget.
Damn it. Here we go.
Love you, bye.
Love you, mean it.